Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. You might be wondering, where were you last week? Well, in our defence, not in our defence, in your defence, we probably should have told you. Matt was away for work, so we couldn't film an episode. There wasn't time. He simply wasn't here. So we are back. We're here for Las Vegas. I'm hearing fuckery. That's what I'm hearing. Anything to do with Las Vegas, fuckery. The track is going to be cold. The weather is obviously going to be cold. The residents are unhappy. Is it going to be embarrassing like Miami? Well, we are going to talk all things Las Vegas, obviously. So hopefully you are waking up at 6 a.m. On Sunday morning to catch the race. I completely understand if you're not going to wake up that early just to watch Max win. But we are going to talk all things Las Vegas right now. So if you do want to follow us on social media, just search Racecast on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We'll be there. And do give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're currently listening to us on. It really does make a difference. And we want to get back to that number one spot in Russia for the fantasy sport category. So yeah, do keep the ratings flowing in, and you know, just play us on repeat even if you've got us on mute, because we're after that number one spot big time now. Anyway.
All right, guys, welcome along. So apologies for last week. That was my fault. That was definitely my fault. Let's just get into it, shall we, and discuss Vegas, because there's a couple of points I want to bring up first. So obviously, F1...
Was there a race last week that we were meant to speak about?
Oh, yeah, there was... Where were we last?
Brazil?
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
We'll touch on it very quickly.
I can't even remember it, if I'm honest.
I think that pretty much sums it up, right? You probably can't remember it. And, you know, it was a really, really embarrassing weekend for Mercedes.
Yep.
They just kept falling back. They just kept losing places. The AlphaTauri is making some huge gains. I've seen...
Tsunoda was good. Tsunoda was very good.
Rumors this weekend that... Well, whether it's rumours or fact, I don't know, but I've seen, like, articles saying that at Singapore, they basically got the RB19 rear suspension. That was their upgrade.
So, like, it's amazing, isn't it, being a sister team?
This is the thing, and obviously the rumours are that it's going to be even closer to the Red Bull next year. Yeah. So, I'm not sure what's going on there. I'm not sure how far we're allowed to take this collusion, but... Kind of seems like cheating, in a way.
If it's true, I it's massively unfair. Massively unfair.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of rumours that go around, and obviously you are expecting. It is the sister team to Red Bull. You know that they're going to get like hand-me-downs as such. Oh, by the way, do you fancy, you know, our front wing? Oh yeah, sure. Sounds good. Yeah.
It seems a bit
spray painted differently.
But obviously that has given them a performance advantage. I mean, ever since Singapore, that the car's been decent.
Yeah.
You know, they're climbing up the constructors' ladder as it is. Even the Alpines, they were quicker than Mercedes this weekend.
Brazil. It was just embarrassing to watch, wasn't it? Because again, this was a prime example of when we discussed the sprint race and the race. We knew
that was going to happen.
After Saturday, watching that sprint race, you knew Friday, the Sunday was going to be just another shit show.
Yeah, you didn't want to watch it.
And it was, in the sense of it was just awful. I think Lewis Hamilton got the most out of it. And it's really disappointing to see. And we've said about the sprint races and how we can improve it. For me, if you're going to do your sprint race on a Saturday... Still allow teams to work on that car for the Sunday.
Yeah, I think take it out of
Parc Fermé. Yeah. Let them work on it. Say, okay, you can work until 11 o'clock at night if you want to make changes, because the excitement's gone.
Yeah, I think what would be good is just don't have it on Saturday. I think, you know, but then it's really hard, isn't it? Because then what the hell do you do? How do you have it on Friday? Do you just go straight there and go into the shootout?
No. I think you can keep the format as it is. But I think once that race finishes, you say to the team, okay, you have 3 hours to make changes.
Do you know what, honestly, I'm going to call it. I reckon we just say get rid of him. I think that they're good from the perspective, okay, they give us something a bit more enjoyable to watch, but I think they ruin the race because you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because they can't change their car anyway. You know, like you say, yeah, okay, it might make it a little bit more exciting, but then teams can't get it to the track. How are they going to get it to the track to make these changes? The reason we get all these setup changes is because of FP1, FP2,
yeah.
FP3. They've got all these data points, and it's just not going to work the same.
No, but I think they've got to check. You know, they're not going to get rid of sprints. Sprints are here to stay. You know, this is a...
Not if we all stand up and say we don't like them.
Okay, well, that's not going to happen because for the F1 fans who don't like practice and all of that stuff and they want to see more racing action, they're going to be very pro it.
Well, yeah, okay. You don't have to like practice, but do you like your race being ruined on Sunday, yes or no?
Some people don't care about that. They will literally just look at it like, oh, it's more action on the track.
You've got to be such a simple, basic, stupid individual to think like that. That's a fact. I'm going to put it out there. If you like the sprint races, you're dumb.
Okay.
What? I think that's true. It ruins it. That's like, oh, do you want to preview the first 20 minutes of this football game? Or, even worse, it would be like, do you want to preview the last 10 minutes of it? You'd be like, no, thank you. I'd rather just wait and watch the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think there's better ways of doing it. And I know there's a lot of talk about a separate sprint championship. Again, for me...
What's the point? What's wrong with the championship?
I don't really understand why you'd want a separate sprint. So, you know, Max Verstappen gets another title.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
That is pointless. Please, if anyone, for whatever reason, from the FIA is listening, or Liberty Media, whoever the fuck is in charge of this bullshit, just stop.
I just think you can make it different in the sense of, okay, you've done the race, the teams, because you'll get enough data within that, because you might find that actually during that race, okay, we really suffered from the aero side. Okay, what can we do with regards to the wings, you know, the rear wings, whatever. I just think it's something which, if you allow teams 3 or 4 hours post-race to work on that car, because the issue is, as soon as that race is done, they're in Parc Fermé. You can't change anything. And I appreciate by saying you learn the most from practice, I get that. But on the sprint weekends, if you can say to them, you can work on that car for however many hours, but, and from a fan's point of view, you will feel actually, okay, they were bad in that, but they've been allowed to work on it. Maybe we'll see some sort of change and improvement tomorrow. But what we're finding is that as soon as you get that set up wrong on Friday, you're done. That's your weekend done.
Yeah, that's the thing. You sort of know, like, there's no opportunity to get the set up wrong.
No.
And that's why FP1, FP2, FP3 free practice is good, because you can see a car in FP1, you're like, oh my God, they are well off the pace. FP2 is the quickest car. And it's those set up changes, okay, are not normally that drastic, but you get the point here. There's opportunity where you think, oh my God, it's over for us this weekend. And then, yeah, you get to FP2 or FP3 on the Saturday and you're like, hang on, the car's come to life. Mm. Like, whatever they've done is working. You completely lose that with the sprint. You then go into qualifying on the Friday, which I don't really like. We then go straight into the sprint shootout on Saturday, where you sort of know how that's going to pan out because you've just watched qualifying the day before. You're then going into the sprint race, which, okay, the sprint race might be like ridiculously entertaining. Let's not forget that. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is it normally sets us up to know exactly what's going to happen in the race.
Yeah.
So then it takes away that excitement. And I just think, well, okay, I'd actually probably take less excitement on Friday and Saturday to have a better Sunday, personally.
Yeah.
And the only reason I can see them trying to give us more entertainment over the week is because they think that the races are already too boring. well, then there's something fundamentally wrong. So fix it. Do you know what I mean? Don't like try and plaster over it with sprint shootouts and sprint races, because it's not fixing the problem.
Well, let's touch on what regards to the season. So I put something in the group chat yesterday, didn't I, with regards to standings, and it is interesting. So obviously we have got four races left. Two races. So this graph was when there was four races left, for example. So back in 2014, at this point, with four races to go, Hamilton was leading the championship by 10 points to Rosberg. Okay. 2015, it was 66 points. 2016, it was 33 points difference at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
2018, 67 points. 19, 64. 2020 was 85 points. And 2021 was 19 points. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was 113 points difference.
Yeah.
With four races to go from this season, how many points do you think it is from first to second?
It's for like
226 points.
Yeah, which is honestly just insane. I don't care what you say about Mercedes' dominance era. Firstly, it was never this boring, right?
No.
This is unbelievably boring. And I know Max comes out crying and be like, oh, well, maybe you should just appreciate a team that's doing really well. Yeah, I absolutely do. And if the races were close and you were still just winning...
Did they appreciate it when Mercedes
won? No, exactly. He was on the mic crying every week.
They were going to take Red Bull out of the...
Yeah, he almost ran away from the sport. So, you know, I'm completely fine with Max winning. And, you know, I'd rather it be Lewis, naturally.
Yeah.
It's the lack of competition that I don't enjoy.
And
teams win all the time, right? Or... an individual wins, but it's nice to have some competition.
Yeah. Let me counter that in the sense of what I say with this is, okay, we've gone into these new regulations. When you look at it, yes, okay, fine. In theory, we have closer racing. And what I mean by that is
Generally outside of the top one,
you do have closer racing. You have different teams who are picking up podiums. You've had Aston Martins, Ferraris, Mercedes. So you are having different Ferrari, you know, you are having different constructors on the podium, picking up points. And in theory, yes, it is a bit closer racing. However, we've said on this podcast many times, we do not watch F1 to see who finishes second, third, fourth. We want to see a proper championship battle. 2021, and again, I say we were lucky to have that season because in theory, we should never have had that, because that's when the new regs were meant to come in. But due to COVID, it got delayed by a year. We had one of the best seasons ever. And we had a championship battle. I couldn't care less what was happening in P3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because each week we were having a battle, a close battle between P1 and P2.
Yeah, you were all just the time. Fixated, weren't you?
Yeah, it was mesmerising, because that's what you had. Granted, the FIA have brought closer racing across the field, but the championship and people who are going for the championship is actually the biggest gap we've ever seen. And you, as the FIA and as F1 fans, we can't say we are having a better season. We can't say that F1 is improved.
Well, no, because it definitely hasn't. I mean, it is statistically the most dominant season ever. And, you know, people complained about the Michael Schumacher era. Let's not forget about that. So I know we look back on his glory days now of like, wow, that's incredible. And no one denies that. You know, at no point am I, or is anyone, denying what Max is doing is incredible.
Yeah.
For him, personally, yeah, it's incredible. For us watching, it's fucking boring.
Mm.
So...
But may I say, we did find it boring when it was Lewis Hamilton who was walking away with...
Yeah, like 2021 smoked everything. And obviously you did, at least when Rosberg was there, it was close.
Yeah.
I know Lewis won two out of three of those, but it was close, and then Rosberg did win one, and then obviously just retired. Even Bottas won races. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And you know, from that stat, I know a lot of those stats that you went through when we got past 2016, a few of them were Seb in there, for example, in P2. So, you know, we have had a few title battles, and you probably think more like 2019, 2020 were particularly boring.
Yeah.
For anyone that wasn't a Mercedes fan. But yeah, this is bad. It's got to improve next year. But obviously, you know, we were in Brazil. Max went, ran away with it. Even Checo was very quick in...
Just quickly, if you had a choice, who actually came out better? Charles Leclerc or the Mercedes? Because in my opinion, I would have much preferred to see Mercedes not even start that race. And actually finish it.
Yeah, but I think Charles would have been all right in the Ferrari.
No, Charles would have been all right. But what I mean is, I would much prefer to see Lewis Hamilton just literally not even bother do that race because it was embarrassing. Like
they should have just started from the pits and just made a setup change.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm under the impression the reason backwards. The car was slow is because they raised it. Because they were worried about the floor issue.
I wasn't worried. I'd take a penalty. Just get disqualified.
I'd rather take the DQ on
yeah,
the...
Yeah, like it was embarrassing. And I mean... The crash on the first lap, I mean, I don't think there was anything Hülkenberg, Magnussen or Albon could have really done. I think Hulk got...
It's just a race.
Yeah.
It gets tight. You go for gaps. Gaps close up in the blink of an eye.
I just find it mad that both rear wings on Danny Rick and Piastri got damaged from flying tyres.
That's quite mad. The two Aussies who were just having their own race. But apparently Danny Rick was matching the front runners' pace.
In the race?
Yeah, in the race.
Yeah. I don't understand, right? Also, how... So it was red flagged.
Yeah.
So do you remember in 21 when it got red flagged and Lewis Hamilton was like a lap behind? In Hungary, was it? No, not Hungary. Monza.
He was a lap behind.
Yeah, do you remember he went off and George Russell went into Bottas?
Well, Lewis wasn't a lap behind. That was in Hungary. Oh, no, wait, are you thinking Imola?
Imola. And you know he ended up being a lap behind because he went off, didn't he?
He wasn't a lap behind.
No, due to the red flag, he unlapped himself.
What? But he wasn't a lap. He hadn't been lapped. He came second that race.
No, he did. But due to the red flag, he managed to unlap himself. He was lapped because he had gone off and he was taking so long to reverse out, he had been lapped.
I don't think that's true.
It is.
I don't think that's true.
It is. Google it.
Google it. What should I Google?
Just put in there, did Lewis unlap himself due to red flag in Imola?
Did Lewis Hamilton... This just isn't true.
It is.
By the way, I hope you're sticking around while I'm Googling this.
It is true. Guys, let us know.
Cause he got lapped in Imola in 22 by Max.
No. I'm talking about 21.
I mean, he definitely didn't get lapped.
He
came P2.
He came P2 because he managed to unlap himself under the red flag.
I just...
It's true. I'm sure of this. I'm wrong with most things, but this I'm sure.
I don't know where you're. He did go off.
Yeah, he did go off.
But he didn't get lapped. Look, I'm pulling up the video because it's not on Google. Everyone talks about 2022.
You're not going to see it in a video, are you?
Well, yeah, because they'll show the timing board, and it should say plus one lap. Yeah?
Yeah. I'm sure of this. I'm doubting myself now.
I think you should be doubting yourself. Imola... Sorry, I can't... Imola 2021 highlights.
Because he went off, and I still remember...
No, he did. It was at like turn one / turn two, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he took so long to reverse himself that he did get lapped by Max, I'm sure of it. But due to the red flag, he managed to unlap himself.
So Max got him into turn one.
Yep, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so now I'm on lap 7, Lewis is P2. Lap 9, Lewis is P2. I'm going to go to Lewis's incident. Lap 29, Lewis is P1, but he's in the pits. Now he's come out 3 seconds behind. Okay, so now lap 31, Lewis is in the wall. He's P3, he's P6, he's P7. That's it. He went to P7.
He went to P7, but there's something about it which I can't remember what it is. I need to rewatch it because something happened.
Is it George Russell slapping Valtteri Bottas on the helmet? Is that?
Yeah, that's the one.
Lewis Hamilton is behind Lance Stroll. Randomly, unless that happened like before. I get what you're saying, because here, Lance Stroll is 1 minute 23 seconds behind Lewis Hamilton, then after the red flag, he's in front of him. But Lewis wasn't lapped.
No, oh, it did, no, but did he pit for a new wing? Did he pit, and that's why he got lapped? I'm adamant he got lapped. And I'm wondering if it's because he pitted after that. Did he damage his front wing or something?
He did damage his front wing.
So he must have pitted.
They had him as out.
So he must have pitted then. I honestly can't remember, but I'm not making this up. I promise you, I'm not making this up.
I think I'll probably have to watch like the full race on F1 TV. But anyway, apologies for wasting like 5 minutes.
All right, can you watch it and let me
know?
I'll
watch it. Because
I'm, for once, I'm adamant I'm right on this one, because I think he must have pitted, and then after that was when the red flag with George and Bottas, and he managed to unlap himself, which then brought him back into contention with...
But how would that get him into P7 or P8 or whatever he...
I don't know. Anyway, regardless, we'll do that. Going back to what my initial... We've gone on for ages. How did Piastri and Danny Ric become a lap down after the red flag? Because you know, in Brazil, they both were basically a lap down right straight from the start. Surely.
I don't know.
Do you know? Because there was no point in them being in the race. They were just like racing themselves. Like
They were in their own little race. Christ, I can't even remember Brazil anymore.
Oh, no. Sorry, guys. It's not that fact that we haven't. We just kind of forgot that race because it was a bit of a nightmare for us as Mercedes fans.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's weird rules, isn't there? Yeah. I mean, I'm still not convinced Lewis has lapped, but there is something dodgy going on there. Yeah. I agree.
Watch it, and I remember it because I still remember Crofty going, this has worked out wonders for Lewis Hamilton, who was a lap behind, who's managed to unlap himself under the red flag. I honestly, I'm not making this up. I'm adamant. Anyway, let us know. So just to recap Brazil, Mercedes were crap. Red Bull still dominant. Lando Norris still can't win a race. And AlphaTauri were decent. Anything you want to add for Brazil before we move on?
I'm really glad it's over. Yeah, when that race ended,
I like the fact Lewis Hamilton was asked about the car and he was like, I literally cannot wait for the season to be over.
But you know, how are we going to get that next season?
Probably until he retires.
But let's talk about Las Vegas.
So Las Vegas. F1 apologises to Las Vegas for Grand Prix disruption. So basically, F1's owners, Liberty Media, have apologised to the city of Las Vegas for the disruption caused by Grand Prix scheduled for this weekend.
Well, that makes it better then.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, I've accepted their apologies. So work to get the track ready for racing has been ongoing for 9 months, with roads being resurfaced and the construction of the pit and paddock areas causing disruption. They've come out...
In fairness,
yep.
Just to interrupt you there, is there such thing as disruption in Las Vegas? Like, no one's gone to Las Vegas and been like, this is going to be nice and peaceful.
It's a city that never sleeps.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that is Vegas, isn't it?
Well, it's Sin City.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't really understand the problem, because if it's not construction noise keeping you up, it's probably the partying all night, or the sound of slots,
yeah,
or the big flashing lights from all the ridiculous hotels. It's not like they've come to Seaford and done it.
No.
Well, you know, the residents...
That would be cool, though.
That would be cool, but you'd be...
Where would we do it? Down by the Martello Tower?
You'd have straight along the beach.
Oh, that would be cool. Mm. Yeah, that'd be decent. So they've said basically that, you know, we're going to bring something like 1.7 billion of revenue to the area. So it's not just for the benefit of fans who want to view. We hope this is great economic benefit to Las Vegas. We hope this is the most difficult year with all the construction that went on, and things will be easier in the future.
Well, that should be true.
Yeah, I get that. I'm not so sure that this is going to be as successful as what people think it is.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Because
I think this is the typical American thing of where they try and force something upon people that aren't massively into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that... It works in COTA, I think, because that's kind of been around now. Do you know what I mean? It's... Yeah. It's a proper racing track. You know, America is a country that is big on racing. You know, they've got
IndyCar NASCAR.
Big there. NASCAR, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's not like... It's not something that is alien to them, but I think taking it to these huge commercial venues,
yeah,
is actually something that is not normal there. You know, like, Miami, that's not renowned for its racing. Las Vegas, you know, these are... I think people see through the bullshit and they're like, question. This is just a commercial event.
When was the last time they raced at Vegas?
Was it like the 70s or something?
1982.
1982, yeah. So...
Stat.
It's just... I don't know. I think that is genuinely it. I think people are not on wires and they're looking at it and they're like, $1,500 for a ticket. Mm. Fuck off.
We know as well as anyone, whenever you hype something up so much, you're always going to be disappointed.
Especially when like real F1 fans can look at that track and think, what the fuck is that?
Loads of straight lines.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
People are saying it looks like a pig, and it does.
I think for us, after this race... The way I'm feeling, I'm excited for it because it's obviously the first race. Ask me in a year's time, I probably won't be as excited as I am.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to the spectacle. It's Las Vegas. They're going to put on a mega show. It's probably going to cringe me out a little bit. Really not looking forward to Martin Brundle's grid walk. But I'm still going to watch it. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it... people see through the commercial bullshit, and that's what they don't realise. It's like they think they're pulling the wool over people's eyes, and they're not. There's a reason that people weren't paying, you know, they weren't selling out like the little swimming pool area in Miami, and it's because people aren't cunts.
Whoa, we don't use that language on this show.
But it's true. I think like these events are genuinely just taking the piss out of fans.
Yeah, I think it's...
They are not at all for the good of the sport. It's purely, how can we make the most money? Where do the most idiots reside? What's gonna like, cause the most amount of commercial drive? Okay, Miami. okay, good. You know, that's made us a bit of money, because there are some idiots out there that are going to pay all this money to go there. They're going to pay $500 to have like a plate of sliders or whatever. What's next? Okay, Las Vegas. But it's not good, is it? Like, realistically. I know that might sound skeptical, like, because I am going to watch it and I'm going to be like, this is really sick. But from a racing perspective, it's probably not going to be very good. The track is terrible.
Well,
also meant to be 5 degrees.
There's going to be a lot of factors to whether this is going to be good or not. I mean, it's kind of, you know, when you're planning for something and you plan all everything. One oversight was the weather.
I actually saw an article that said when they were like organizing the Las Vegas Grand Prix, they didn't even consider the weather.
No.
That's what I read,
yeah. So it's going to be interesting because in theory, this is one of our coldest, it's going to be one of our coldest tracks.
If the temperature drops below 5 degrees, it will officially be the coldest race ever.
Yeah. Which is mad when you're going to potentially...
They're going to a desert.
Yeah.
Which I understand to some extent why they wouldn't consider the weather. But it's not my job to do like the due diligence. It's theirs. They should be thinking of absolutely everything.
Are we going to see Ted Kravitz in his flip-flops and his shorts?
They're going to be in puffers. You just know there's an intern who is like, oh, have we checked what the weather's going to be like in Vegas? It's like, shh, fucking idiot. Don't speak again, all right? Yeah. And now he's just sitting there just rubbing his hands.
Yeah. So I honestly don't know how that's going to affect the race.
Well, I think it's going to affect it dramatically.
Yeah.
Firstly, I think we're going to see a lot of crashes.
Have you seen that clip from the F1 game where literally they're all just piling into turn one? No, but
I think, you know, obviously F1 cars are great at getting heat into the tyres because of the amount of load they have on them in corners because of the downforce. But this is going to be really scary for drivers coming out the pits. You know, after a pit stop and they've just had a tyre change and they're coming out.
You see those tyres with snow chains on?
Yeah. No, but do you know what I mean? It's like, we laugh and joke about this stuff, but if it's like 4 degrees, it could genuinely snow.
And what's Pirelli going to do? I mean, I'm not being funny. Back in, what, Qatar... They only allowed you to race 18 laps on tyres because they're so concerned.
Well, they have to send them out on wets. Like, will they? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, God.
Because they're going to need the grip. I mean, there's not going to be much risk of wets overheating at 5 degrees, is there?
Do you think it is... F1 has become a bit of a mockery this year in the sense of Pirelli haven't provided tyres good enough to be able to last longer than 18 laps in one race this year. Granted, only one race, but it still happened. They've openly admitted that they didn't consider the temperature at this time of night when they're racing, which... Look,
it's my point of it. It's all these overlooks for commercial gain.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a Liberty Media thing, right? We can't be blind to this. It's ever since they've come in that, you know... Well, we've had Netflix then come in because of these guys.
Yeah.
We're getting all these races at new tracks and we're leaving behind... You know, and this is all because of money, like... You know, I'm a big fan of some of the Middle East tracks, but they're going there because of the money. You know, the money that Abu Dhabi's been around for a while, but even so, I say a while, not ages. I know it's before Liberty Media, but, you know, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, okay, Bahrain again has been around for a little while, but, and I'm totally not against all these tracks. I've openly said Bahrain is one of my favourite tracks.
And I've openly said Qatar is one of my favourite tracks.
Yep. Not a fan of Abu Dhabi, but...
Abu Dhabi can...
But my point is that, like, they're constantly overlooking things just for commercial gain and financial gain. You know, like, not racing around Hockenheim. And how good was Mugello in 2020? We don't have tracks like Turkey anymore. We don't race in Malaysia.
I miss China.
Obviously, we don't race in China for... I can only assume is political reasons. I mean...
Well, majority of them were COVID reasons that they wouldn't go there.
But like that kind of...
Well, no, wasn't this year... I can't remember the reason for the cancellation.
But do you see what I mean? They overlook all these tracks they overlook everything. They just follow the money. They just put their nose to the floor and just sniff out the dollars.
I'd love to bring South Africa back. It's a cool track.
There is so many cool tracks out there.
Hockenheim through the trees was just epic.
Yeah, we've had so many nice tracks the years.
So many.
And like I say, I'm really not against these sort of like, I'm not completely against these money tracks. Mm. It's fine because, like I say, some of the tracks out in the Middle East are actually fantastic. Like Bahrain, I love.
Yeah.
The Qatar track is just insane. But again, it's things that are getting overlooked. Like how the hell have Pirelli not realised that tyres might only last 18 laps or... How the FIA overlooked that drivers might die in the heat. Yeah. It's just...
I tell you, we haven't had Portugal, have we, this year?
We haven't had Portugal. That, again, that That's is cool one track. Of my favourite tracks.
Yeah. I just realised, but we haven't had that this year at all. Why haven't we had that?
Probably because we got Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Right, would you like to know timings?
Yeah, but can you do me a quiz first? Oh, we can't, because...
I could do a quiz. When was the first Grand Prix held?
Oh, well, you said 1982 was the last, so I'm going to say 1978.
No, 2023. So they haven't done this track before, have they?
Oh, so...
Very good.
So never?
Never. Number of laps?
No, actually, the track's quite long, but it's also kind of quick because you're flat out most of the time. I'm going to say 54.
50.
Oh.
Lap record and held by who?
I don't know, John the Tarmac layer.
He was quick, I tell you.
28 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So circuit length is 6.2 kilometres. Race distance is 110.05 kilometres as well. So let's just see. So I'll give you a bit of insight what the circuit's like. So located in the heart of Las Vegas, the new 6.26 kilometre 17-turn street circuit winds in ways past iconic locations like Caesar Palace, the Bellagio, and the... How do you say that one?
The Venetian.
Oh yeah, good. Well done. That's good. With average speeds expected to match Monza, otherwise known as the F1's Temple of Speed, there's promises to be plenty of action and overtaking.
I know I've been negative about this. I genuinely hope it's an amazing race because we all know that like they can put on a mega show in Vegas. I just have my doubts, and you know, I'm still gonna wake up and watch, watch quali, which is.
Would you like me to tell you?
I won't ruin this part.
So Friday practice is 4:30 till 5:30.
I'm not waking up for that one.
Nope. Practice 2 is 8 till 9.
I will wake up for. I'll be awake for that one.
On the 18th, which is Saturday, 4:30 until 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Qualifying is 8 till 9. On Saturday?
Yeah.
And the race is 6 a.m.
Yeah, because...
Obviously, it's a Saturday evening race in...
It's actually 10 p.m. in Las Vegas, I believe. Whoever wins that race is going to have a fantastic night out.
Yeah. It is... 10 o'clock.
Are they 8 hours Vegas? Behind, aren't they?
Yeah. So, 6 a.m. It's going to be like Japan, isn't it?
Japan, Australia.
Australia, yep.
Have we had any other 6 a.m.s?
No, I think it's just those two. I can't remember it being up that early.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. But yeah, no, like I say, I talk shit about it because I don't, I think it's just Formula One's way of mugging off fans and not actually doing what's best for, I know they're doing financially what is best for the sport.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's never been a poor sport, has it? Do you know what I mean?
No, like, I just hope it is, it goes well and it's successful. I want a good race. You know, we've had so many boring races this year and there's been so much hype about this race that I just hope it gives,
it better live up to it.
Yeah. My worry is it won't, but I'm hopeful. I am hopeful. Top three.
Honestly, Max, Checo, Lando.
Yeah. Actually, to be, I'm expecting McLaren still to be good. I'm going to go Max, Lando, Checo.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. I don't think the Mercedes is going to be as bad as, I think everyone was looking at the straight line speed.
Yeah.
That we had in Brazil. I don't think that's an accurate representation of like their straight line speed.
You know, it's shitter.
We saw them at Monza. And it was okay.
Yeah.
The Mercedes is not going to perform like it did in Brazil. It's not going to just fall backwards because it's consistently straight. We know it's, I'll be absolutely shocked if either Lewis or George are on the podium.
Oh, I'd be shocked if they're in the top five.
No, I think both drivers will be top six.
No.
But based on what?
The straight line speed. This is all straight.
Yeah, but you're basing this purely on Brazil.
No. I'm basing this on the season with their straight line speed. I think you've got Williams who are going to be strong. AlphaTauri will be strong. I think both McLarens will be strong. Ferrari are good in a straight line. They will be strong. You've got Perez and Max and Lando already in that. I can't see a Mercedes being in the top five.
Yeah, but if you're using Brazil, is a terrible.
I'm not using Brazil.
Okay, well, look at the other tracks that require high speed.
Yeah.
Monza, where did they finish? Check it up?
Yeah. Get it up.
Monza 2023. Holy shit, this is slow.
Yes.
Or is it only showing me the top three? Okay. We had fifth and sixth.
Okay.
So
still not great.
No, I mean it's not amazing, but that's, we obviously know the so Ferrari is quicker in a straight line.
Okay, who was your P1 Max?
Yeah.
Who's P2?
Checo.
P3
Sainz.
Fourth.
Leclerc. Because it's when we had the really good race between the two of them.
So you're not even having the McLarens in there at the moment. This is what I mean. This is, McLarens weren't even in their good pace yet. You've only got the Ferraris and,
yeah, but one of the Ferraris will fuck up. Will happen.
But do you see what I mean? Your own.
I see your point, but what I disagree with is I don't think Alpine and AlphaTauri are going to be an issue. Okay. And I don't think Williams are going to be an issue.
No, okay. I never underestimate Albon in straight line. He's phenomenal, and a lot of this. But what I'm saying is, you've still got Perez. Looks like he's gonna finish. Hopefully, well, okay. I say hopefully, but he's gonna finish on a bit of form.
What about Spa? Lewis Hamilton P4, George Russell P6. That's a quick track.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, like,
but you've also got to remember there's a lot of factors in that race with rain.
Azerbaijan, Lewis Hamilton, P6.
You're not selling it here, are you?
No, I'm not. I don't think they're not going for a podium at all. But I think I'd be surprised if we don't see both Mercedes in top six. That's all I'm saying.
Do you want to make a bet?
No.
Both Mercedes will not be in the top six.
I'm not that confident.
Yeah.
Because this car is fucked up. But I just think it's really easy for fans to use Brazil as a reference point for straight line speed. No.
For me, when I said that, I wasn't basing my assumptions on Brazil.
But other than that, straight line speed has not caused them a huge amount of issue this season.
No, I agree. But in those tracks you've said, they've literally just been in the top five. They're literally P5 or P6. Some of those tracks, McLaren aren't even in play then.
Great Britain? Silverstone?
P3?
Yeah.
Okay, Silverstone is a bit different.
No, I know, because it's got high-speed corners, but...
And it comes alive. It's like...
So it's different because of where it is.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying, I think whether it's conscious or unconscious, I think you are looking at Brazil and thinking, well, the straight line speed is just such a big issue. And it hasn't... It's certainly one of their weaker points. But then I don't think they're weaker than AlphaTauri or...
All right. Okay, when I said
Alpine,
you
said that because you were thinking about Brazil, and that's my point.
Okay, I get what you're saying. All I'm saying is I think Ferrari have a better straight line speed still. I think McLaren are. I think Red Bull are.
Do you know why that car was so slow in a straight line in Brazil?
No,
because they raised it to avoid the floor issue, like we discussed. Mm. And then, because they raised it, they obviously lost downforce.
Yeah.
To then counteract that, they put a fucking massive wing on it.
Yeah.
Which then increased their drag. So, they had a wing to counteract the lack of downforce.
Yeah.
Which obviously, we know these cars are ground effect. So, most of your downforce comes from the floor of the car. Yeah. They then stuck a big old wing on it, which increased their drag, which then made them really slow in a straight line.
Yeah. Shall I be honest? I still think you're just grasping at straws. Like you've got to let it go. If I said one of them was going to be on the podium,
I'd grant you a free punch to my head because there's something wrong with me.
I love your optimism. And as a Mercedes fan, I love that each week you get excited about an upgrade.
It's not even optimism. It's basic realism of there is no point overreacting at Brazil. Brazil was a shit show, but I think we all know the reasons why. It's a completely different track
to Las Vegas.
And the track's most similar to Vegas. We have finished top six at every race.
Yes, but this season... Would you say we have improved from last year?
Yes.
I would agree with you on that one.
So what was the point in the question?
No, let me finish. I agree with you. We've made marginal improvements this year. Do I think we've made drastic changes from last year? No, I don't think we're much better off.
I think fundamentally they got the car wrong again and they stuck to a system that didn't work, and they took a silly gamble coming into this season of sticking with the format of the whatever you call it, this type of car.
Yeah.
And then literally after Bahrain, we're like, fuck.
Yeah.
So
I
think going into next season, we're going to see a much stronger car. Do I think we're going to close the gap to Red Bull? No.
I still think we're going to struggle next year. And I think the only car who may have made major gains next year is McLaren.
I personally disagree. I think McLaren are going to continue striding forward. I think Mercedes are going to redo the concept. And I think we are going to see a much stronger car because...
I hope so.
The car's fundamentally wrong. There's only so much they... Firstly, with the cost cap, there's only so much they can do.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we didn't have a cost cap, I imagine Lewis and George would have won some races this season. That's my opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Because we know that Mercedes will just fucking hammer money at it.
Yeah.
And it would have meant we probably could have got a new rear axle. We could have got a new chassis. We could have made all the changes that we needed in that car, which we probably can't make until next season now.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely can't make
it.
So I think what we've seen is, you know, imagine if we are having this conversation after COTA. You'd be like, yeah, we've made strides. We're now the second fastest car. But it's only because we're looking at... They got Brazil so wrong. And I think it's so easy to look at that. Obviously, it was a weekend to forget. It was a horror show. I'm not saying it means the car's good. It just had a bad weekend, because it's not. It needs to be improved. But
I'm just basing my stuff off how inconsistent we still are this year.
Yeah, the car's
very inconsistent.
But I do think that's because it's what they've essentially got is they've got this old concept which was built for no side pods. This weird ass concept that no one else has gone for. You know, I actually kind of admire the no side pod thing. I just think they should have changed it at the beginning of this season. But they've now got this car which is built for these no side pods. You know, the whole thing is going to be off. They stuck side pods on it. It's like... I don't know what it's like, but... You know, it's like having a car and just sellotaping a spoiler to it or something. You know... If it's not made for it, it's... Yeah. I feel like we are going to see a different car. And this is obviously just my opinion. It's not a fact. You know, we might come on after Bahrain 2024 and you'll be like, I fucking told you so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll eat that L. But I would be genuinely shocked if we don't take a massive leap.
Yeah.
Next year.
I hope you're right, because I really want to see... won some competition and I want to see Lewis back.
And I think McLaren will also take a stride forward. I think,
well, apparently they've been working on their car since July for next year.
Yeah.
Like they've made big strides. So
it wouldn't surprise me if we see Aston Martin back in the mix, because they've got something right. They've got a package in there. Ferrari have to take strides because
Ferrari just always do a Ferrari.
They're falling into the mix, aren't they? Like, yeah. And I mean the wrong mix. They're falling backwards.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. Guys, let us know what your thoughts are. I am excited for this weekend. I'm hoping it's good. But I think that's the end of the podcast.
I think we're there. Hopefully it wasn't too like moany and whatever, but.
We've had some discussions, didn't we? We've had some discussions.
Yeah, and obviously just DM us on Instagram or tweet us. And
Luke's going to go and find out about that Imola now, because...
Yeah, I am. I'm going to watch it. But
he does not believe me in the slightest. If I'm right, will you do a public apology next week?
No. But if it's really weird and like circumstantial, obviously my memory, thinking back to 2021, I do not remember Lewis getting lapped on track by Max Verstappen. I don't believe that happened. If he came into the pits.
I don't think he got lapped on track. He got lapped somewhere. This is what I mean. I don't know if it was because he pitted. That's what happened. But anyway, we'll have a look at it and we'll let you know. Or just let us know if you know. So we'll be back next week for a brand new podcast. We're watching the race together, aren't we, on Sunday?
Yeah.
Be nice. Luke invited me round. Must be something wrong with him.
Matt's bringing breakfast.
Am I?
No, I'm actually intermittent fasting. I don't eat until 12 o'clock.
Okay, I'll bring myself breakfast. So hope you enjoyed the race. We'll touch base next week. What the hell am I talking about? A bit of work. We'll be back next week.
That is such work, chat.
We'll touch base next week.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Yeah, thanks for your time. And we shall see you next week. Have a good week. Take care. Bye-bye.